What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
You better put them hands together. Put them together for Tuesday on B&E. Went off the busy weekend, now looking forward to a busy week that will include Big 12 baseball tournament up in Arlington beginning tomorrow. Longhorns playing Oklahoma State. Get your preview of that game coming up. Craig Way has his Craig Way report. Also, well, this week and maybe tonight include the end of the Dallas Mavericks season. Zay and Bucky believe so. I think Jason Kidd's waving the white flag, and it all ends tonight at the American Airlines Center with the Golden State Warriors up 3-0. Could be.
Why watch? They're not supposed to be there anyway.
Yeah, Jason Kidd after Game 3 was kind of resigned, saying, we weren't supposed to play this far anyhow. But here we are.
Even if it's for real, you don't want to hear that as a player.
Oh, Luka did that too. Luka was saying, I'm only 23 years old.
I'll be back again. Oh, yeah.
Learning experience, this and that. I won't be surprised if we see him bringing their luggage to the arena tonight.
Luggage behind the bench?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's just go.
Where are they going? But yes.
No.
I would say this. If they lose tonight, indeed, and they're favored by a point, according to Vegas, if they lose, I would say most Maverick fans will be pleased with the season they had.
Well, yeah.
And excited about the future. But yes, it's probably, Jason Kidd, those comments are okay after game 4 if you get swept. They're not after game 3
no.
when there's still another game to be played. But we'll see if there's some fight in the Mavs. You said you think Luke is going for 60. Is that hyperbole or you believe that?
No, I believe that tonight. I believe they
6-0?
Not going to get swept.
I mean, come on, man.
This group won 5 straight games in their home building. They lost one. Now they're going to come back. This is it. This is happening tonight.
There's also the side of...
That other team's just got some guys who
Utah
flat out shoot too.
Utah, they were better than Utah. Once they got Luka back and got healthy, they were no match. And I think Phoenix proved to be kind of mentally fragile in their game and in their series. I see none of that from Golden State.
I can say that I'm a fan of the sport, but I'll just say this: they're not winning this thing, the whole thing, but. I can't go out like that as the head coach.
You also have to put the Warriors in this. The Warriors have played great in this series. And remember we saw that game in Memphis when they got smoked by 50?
Oh.
I mean, they've had some off games, and they could maybe take the foot off the gas knowing they've got to win one more game at this point. We'll see. That game is tonight. We had a game last night that turned into a blowout. Let's get to the headlines, the trending topics, things you need to know as you start up your Tuesday morning. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And yeah, top stories from baseball, including the Longhorns. We mentioned Ivan Melendez for the 5th time this year is the player of the week in the Big 12. It's a co-player of the week this time around, but he slugged 3 homers, drove in 9 in the 4 Texas wins last season. Longhorns perfect last week, 4-0. His 453-foot home run on Saturday, the 28th of the season, that ties the school record. Melendez will lead the 19th-ranked Longhorns into the Big 12 Championship Tournament tomorrow in Arlington. They'll face Oklahoma State at 9 a.m. In San Marcos, meanwhile, the 11th-ranked Texas State Bobcats will begin play in their conference tournament tomorrow night out in Montgomery, Alabama. Bobcats finished a record-setting year, 44 wins, most ever for the program in the regular season, 44-11. They've made a strong case to potentially host an NCAA regional at this point. Yesterday, their head coach Steve Trout named the Conference Coach of the Year. Senior shortstop Dalton Shuffield named the Sun Belt Player of the Year. Congrats to both there. Longhorn football in need of a depth at the wide receiver position. Longhorns have added a transfer portal prospect yesterday, a graduate transfer from Iowa State within the Big 12, Tariq Milton. He's a speedster, 4.3 speed, 5'10", 195-pounder. Had a breakout freshman in sophomore years, but battles injuries his final 2 seasons in Ames. Has nearly 1,600 career receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. He is the third addition to the Texas wide receiver room via that portal this offseason, joining Isaiah Nayer from Wyoming and Alabama transfer Ajay Hall. NBA playoffs, as we mentioned, another blowout in the playoffs. Boston Celtics walloped Miami last night in Game 4 of that Eastern Conference Finals, 102-82, and it wasn't that close. Jason Tatum had 31. The entire Heat starting 5 managed just 18 points as the Heat scored just 11 in the first quarter. Blown out pretty early there. Baseball last night, Round Rock and the Rangers took the night off. Astros opened a three-game set with the Cleveland Guardians and lost 6-1. Major League Baseball has suspended Yankees third baseman Josh Donaldson for one game for remarks he made toward White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson on Saturday. And in the NFL, Colts, Indianapolis has signed the veteran Nick Foles, the former Westlake Chaparral. He joins Sam Ehlinger, another former Westlake Chaparral, and Matt Ryan in that quarterback room for Frank Reich.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Come get your steel lawn equipment, Hustler, Toro, and Walker mowers, or Top Hat trailers to get your project going this spring before they're gone. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
You know, Nick Foles didn't play a lot last year, did he?
No, but he helped Frank Reich and the Philadelphia Eagles win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was like Philadelphia 4 years ago.
More than that. What, 2017?
Was it?
So that's
Man.
5 years ago
yeah.
now. Well, it's interesting. He's 33 years old, Nick Foles. He obviously is close with Frank Reich, and, you know, he was in Chicago last year in that Matt Nagy regime that was blown out. This is, you know, if you're Sam Ehlinger, this is it's pretty amazing to have two Westlake Chaps in one quarterback room. But, you know, is he brought in to be the backup? Does that mean, you know, Sam doesn't have a chance to earn that job? This is a 2-year deal. They didn't give him just a 1-year deal. It's two
right.
years. That would tell you that, you know, Matt Ryan is there to be the starter. Is Nick Foles there to be the backup? And is Sam Ehlinger still kind of on the developmental side of things? Showed well last year in training camp, in his, you know, in the training camp games and preseason games, Sam did. But we'll see. That obviously would be an indicator that maybe they don't see that path for Sam Ehlinger. But we'll find out.
Well, yeah, Nick's getting paid Nick is getting paid for that deal.
Yeah.
They're spending money to have him there. A 2-year deal?
2-year deal. Now, again, how much of that is guaranteed and that kind of stuff becomes the question. But we know this. Those two will get along. You couldn't have three better guys in a quarterback room mm-hmm. than Matt Ryan, you know, Nick Foles, and Sam Ehlinger. I mean, as far as people go and character and all of that. I mean, whatever we think of Matt Ryan and his skill level at this point, I mean, that guy has been an all-time Atlanta Falcon. And they beloved in that city, beloved by that team and organization. Never any drama with him, and you know, that's kind of the same thing with Nick Foles and Sam Ehlinger, that type of guy. That's what Frank Reich and Chris Ballard are trying to build in Indianapolis. They're looking for, you know, that high character team. We'll see. Can they challenge the Tennessee Titans in that division? Becomes the question. Jonathan Stewart is there. The young running back, is that his name? Jonathan Stewart. Did I get that right? I don't know why that sounds funky to me. Wisconsin running back. Do I have this right, Zay? Jonathan. Running back, Colts.
Jonathan Taylor.
Taylor. Why would I say, who's Jonathan Stewart? What's wrong with me? But yeah,
Colts. He had to play with Carolina all those years. Or whatever.
Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. Yeah, he was the leading rusher in the league last year. Can he be the bell cow to a team that, because Tennessee is still Tennessee, but they traded A.J. Brown. They're, you know, kind of starting over at the wide receiver position. For with Ryan Tannehill,
that's the group that's going to look different. That's still hard to believe that they gave away A.J. Brown.
Well, that's they're kind of the outlier of that conference. The AFC is so deep and loaded. Heck, you see the story from New England yesterday that Mac Jones, their quarterback, has changed his diet. He's in the best shape of his life. He's ready to have a breakout second year at quarterback, the kid out of Alabama.
He had a really good year last year for a rookie.
Solid, not spectacular, but for a rookie season, pretty good. You know, so the Patriots want to be a contender with the Bills. The Dolphins have added, you know, Tariq Hill and all that speed with Tua. They're a fun. That's a fun division. Obviously, the AFC North with, you know, what.
For New England now they got a new offensive coordinator, correct?
Well, and not, if you listen to Bill Belichick, he still hasn't decided who's going to be the play caller.
Oh boy!
and he did it in very Bill Belichickian fashion yesterday. Basically, said, we'll get to it when we get to it. We'll get to it when we get to it. Hey, who's going to be the offensive coordinator? And we'll figure it out.
You know, I was telling you earlier that Daniel Snyder. The happy 32 owners are not very pleased with what he's doing right now.
Yeah. They're trying to figure out if they have the votes to move and take that team from him. And if you read what's going on in Washington, it sounds like some of the folks who are in the ownership group with Daniel Snyder would be okay seeing that happen.
And I don't know. I'm just speculating. It may not be about some of the things that are pissing off people, but it's about messing with the family. You know what I mean? The family money. That's the other 32 owners.
Yeah, when you're
crooking it from
the other owners for sure,
yes.
And you're bad for business. The PR's bad. I mean, all the sexual allegations with the cheerleaders and the season ticket holders and all that sordid story.
Or when you're hiring other guys to fudge the books.
Yes.
On our own group.
Yeah, they're moving on Daniel Snyder, so we'll keep an eye on that story too in the NFL. But finish the thought on the AFC. I think the AFC East is really good. Buffalo might be the best overall team in that conference, and New England and Miami are going to be strong contenders. I think the AFC North is loaded with Cincinnati, Baltimore getting healthy, getting everybody back. How about that? How about they get J.K. Dobbins back healthy? Remember him?
That's right.
And they get players like that to go with Lamar Jackson, all those guys that got injured. They're right there. Pittsburgh, still Pittsburgh. Cleveland with Deshaun Watson now. And then we know what the AFC West is with Kansas City and the Raiders and Denver and the Chargers. It's that AFC South that somebody's going to win it. And I don't know. I mean, but I don't think there's a great team in that division. I really don't. I don't think the Colts are great. I think they have a chance. I don't think Tennessee's great with the losses they've taken. And Ryan Tannehill is still their quarterback. And we know Houston and Jacksonville aren't very good. So, but one of those teams is going to win that division and get a playoff spot, one of only seven in the conference. So keep an eye there.
Well, if you tell me the running back for the Titans is going to be – if Derrick Henry is going to be the same Derrick Henry of early of last year, then I'm pretty good with them still doing it.
Sure.
Again.
I mean, they'll be what they are. They're a sledgehammer, right? They come at you with power football. You know, Ryan Tannehill says the playoff performance against the Bengals in which, remember, Tennessee had home field. Tennessee was the one seed. And they coughed up that loss to Joe Burrow and the Bengals, even though they sacked Joe Burrow nine times because Ryan Tannehill turned the ball over. He had three interceptions, including one in overtime that led to the loss. You know, and Ryan Tannehill said that he had to go see a counselor. Like, he was really having a hard time. He was really depressed, really down about it. We'll see if he can come back and be strong. I don't see any of those. Look, I think the AFC South has teams that I don't think one team in that division is as good as anybody in the AFC West. I don't think there's one team in that division that's with Tennessee's attrition.
Well, we'll see what the difference is with Matt Ryan. That'll be huge.
Sure.
What kind of difference will
that's
he
right.
make?
That's right. I mean, that's the X factor.
And how they upgrade their passing game.
Obviously, they gave up they ended up giving up a first-round pick for Carson Wentz, and that obviously didn't work out. But he showed in year one, there's just no leadership quality to him. There's no, you know, follow me quality to him.
No one will follow him.
Yeah, he's got a big arm. He's talented. But it took Frank Reich and the Colts 1 year to realize – that ain't it. And of course, the same thing happened in Philadelphia, that there just wasn't a leadership. Now he's in Washington as Commander Wentz. But you're right about Matt Ryan. If he comes and all of a sudden he's, you know, with that strong offensive line, with that running game and Jonathan Taylor, and he's
always had numbers when he was with Atlanta.
Well, we've given you, his numbers when he has a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yes.
He's pretty damn good. And they have a good young defense in Indianapolis. So they absolutely could unseat Tennessee in that division, but are they still better than a lot of the teams in the AFC becomes the question. All right, Buck, on the college football side of things, coming up bottom of the hour, we'll get our Flex ATX update. It'll be Flex 30. Get you the very latest there. Also, Craig Way with his Craig Way report coming up. Salacious Gossip and your Blitz. But I wanted to mention this because lost in Nick Saban's comments of last Wednesday that were, you know, they took the one clip about Jimbo Fisher. Everybody did. We did. And it became the national story. Then we know what Jimbo Fisher's response to was it. And it was the story of last week. And one of the biggest college football stories we've ever seen. But in those comments on Wednesday, it was interesting that if you listen to the whole statement, there's a lot to chew on. There really is a lot about NIL and what he's seeing and what the future will be. And it's interesting that it aligns with something, you know, the prominent booster down at Miami, John Ruiz that we've talked about.
Yes,
he had two sons that played baseball at Miami, and he is a lawyer by trade, but he runs the collective there at Miami, and he and Nick Saban are kind of in aligned of what these collectives can be. One of the things Nick Saban said, in addition to saying that A&M bought all their players, was that says, I don't know if this is a sustainable model because you folks are going to give some. Remember, he was speaking to a group of Alabama boosters right. And Alabama business people. And he said, because one of you folks is going to give some player a bunch of money to come to our school. And then you're going to come down to the game full strut thinking, I'm going to tell everybody that I got that guy to come to Alabama. And then he's not going to play. And then he's going to transfer. And then you're going to say, well, I'm never going to do that again. All right, well, so that's how it works. How do you sustain a model like that? That, you know, these collectives, at some point, these rich guys are going to get tired of giving money to the collective if they're not getting the result and the return that they are seeking, which you've mentioned many times. And John Ruiz, the businessman, the attorney down in Miami, said the same thing. He said everybody's paying. He was on the Paul Feinbaum show and said everybody paying for NILs is going to get tired. And here's what's going to happen, Ruiz said. When it happens, you'll have 100 people in a collective. And now all of a sudden you start paying the players. They're going to be disagreements within the collective. And before you know it, there are going to be lawsuits about the collective and who got paid and who didn't get paid. It's going to get really ugly.
Oh, yeah. They'll start ratting each other out.
Yeah. And even John Ruiz, who is one of the guys who has said, you know, bring it on NCAA if you want to threaten. We're doing this on the up and up. These are all compliant with the rules. Take us to court if you have to. He said to Paul Feinbaum, that's not what name, image, and likeness was supposed to be. That's what it's become, and that's the problem in college athletics right now because every player is saying, well, what am I going to get? Now in recruiting we have players in our state. This is back to Nick Saban. He said, now we have players in our state who always wanted to come to Alabama, but they won't commit to us unless we say we're going to give them what somebody else is going to give them.
Well, that's the way the game is.
Right.
I said that when we started out with this whole image and likeness. They're not coming to your campus until they know what they're going to get. You have to explain to them and their parents how much you're going to make when you get there. But they're not even going to come for a visit unless you have it all planned out for them. You know what I'm saying? What is it all structured out that I'm going to get if I choose to come here? If I come here just for a regular official visit, I'm not coming there unless you have everything planned out for me, or I won't even come.
Yeah, and that Saban is echoing the exact thing. Saban also said the hard thing is there are no guardrails on this road. The word guardrails we've used a lot. You can do whatever the hell you want, and in the end, most of this is not good for the players. You know, there are some terrible statistics out there about guys that transfer, how many of those guys graduate, terrible statistics on that.
Oh, now they're worried about graduation now.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, yes. You know, again.
Zay, now they're student, and now they're worried about graduation rates again. We're going back to that.
You need to graduate.
Student athlete.
Yes.
Well, it is interesting. You're right. I mean, and Nick Saban sees he's losing his grasp on these things and the debate about, you know, he knows the money in Alabama is not as good as Texas or Texas A&M and other schools around the country, and they have to compete with that now. But I think everybody agrees guardrails are a good thing. Jimbo Fisher.
Yes.
Jimbo Fisher in the wake of this has said he thinks the Congress should get involved and put the guardrails on there. So no one that you're – everyone's playing in the gray area right now, and everyone's doing it because they can, and it's how you keep up. But every person you hear says we need guardrails, we need rules. But as we've said over and over, who's going to force them? What entity does that? Is it the current college football playoff committee? Could you in real time agree – that we're going to put these folks in charge of shepherding some guidelines and some guardrails to put on this that we can all agree to get this thing back under control. Or
is there a kid that's going to go to a school that's not going to be promised something? Is it a kid because his dad went to that school? Just I'm going there because my father went there.
I still think some people do. I think a lot of players do.
I hope so.
But yes, it's a we knew
my uncle went there, my niece went there. I mean, I hope there's more of that going on, but I don't think there's a lot of it now, the way we're going. Not with 4- and 5-star guys. Maybe with guys that have had exceptional senior years and they got chosen, you know what I'm saying, to go visit, but we're going to give you a scholarship if you decide to come. I got to believe there's some of those that aren't looking. I'm not even calling it a handout. I'm not looking to get what they can get. Just saying, no, my dad went to school there. My Uncle John went there. I'm going there because of that. You don't have to give me anything. I'm going there to play football and get an education.
Sure. Will there be? I don't know. I mean, I
think it's a shame that if that's the way we're but there's got to be some that are out there still doing that, you know?
Yeah. But I don't have a problem with a recruit asking, hey, look, when I get there, and what are the opportunities that you guys have put together for name, image, and likeness chance opportunities? That's, to me, that's fair. That's a fair question.
You're sure.
Just trying to do due diligence and find out all the info you can. You know what are the collectives?
Yeah,
that
but
you
if
have?
I sit there with
right.
what I've sitting there with a bunch of when I sit there with the parents and the uncles and everybody else at a visit, and the first thing out of their mouths is, "How much can my son make?" I'm,
yeah. But here's
but
what you're
gonna
offer.
And you know what? Assistant coaches are going to have to hear that because that's what's going to be said.
Yeah, here's
in homes.
Here's, hey, you know we've got and that's what Nick Saban was saying. We've gotten this offer over here. Can you beat that? Can you match that? We really like Alabama. We like the machine that it is and the development. But at the same time,
I'd like for my son to come visit your campus, but you need to tell me what is it
right.
that you guys have planned already for him before he comes here,
that's
or
right.
my daughter. That's what's going to suck about this.
You know, we're 50 days from Big 12 Media Days. Okay, right behind that will come SEC Media Days. Well, can anything happen in the next 50 days to move in that direction? Will there be a – because
I don't think for next year is possible.
I know. I don't either. But everyone's calling for it. Everyone. Yeah. It's amazing to hear the consistency in the message from whether it's Steve Sarkisian or Jimbo Fisher or Nick Saban. The people running the collectives are saying, look, yeah, eventually their money's going to run out.
Well, if you tell me in 2024 this is where we're going to go, I'd feel a lot safer and a lot better about college football. If you told me – I mean, because for 2022, I don't think that's going to happen. You're not going to get much change. But if you told me – even if you went past 2023 and said in 2024, these are the rules by we're all going to stand by these rules, I'd feel a lot better.
Me too. Agreed.
And I think everybody would.
And you know, because we haven't talked a lot about the point of the collectives, you know, these are business guys, right? They've made a lot of money because they've made smart business decisions and whatever. You realize on these collectives, when you're given the money, there is no return on that investment for you. Like, personally, you don't get any money out of that.
No.
You give your money, you invest your money, you're hoping to get a return.
Now, that's because you like the university.
Right, but if the return is winning football games, and win or lose, you're not, you know, at some point, as John Ruiz said down in Miami, do they get tired of giving money? Then these 100 or 200 people are finally going to say, okay, that's enough. That's all I got. Which, even though I have more, but I'm getting no return out of this. And that becomes the political, that's where the lawsuits will come. And, well, I gave this much, and you know, to Nick's point and Coach Saban's point and to John Ruiz, the model's not sustainable, even though the collectives have grown really quickly here since NIL's
been legal. The money will change.
Sure.
The money will change. No, you're not getting $1 million. You're getting $400,000.
Yeah, the market will shift.
And, right.
It is a mess. I don't think there's any doubt about that. However many conversations and angles we take on this conversation, and everybody has an opinion on it, it's a mess right now. The underbelly of, or the above the table in college basketball and football right now. All right, we'll come back. We'll pick up your Flex 30 report. Greg Way has his report. Also, Longhorn baseball. Really interesting if you glance at the latest RPI ratings in college baseball of where the Longhorns stand and what's in front of them. We'll talk about it again. Also, hit your salacious gossip and bring your blitz before the end of the hour on a busy Tuesday. Coming right back.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Interesting take. A lot of them, by the way, on the spec section. I appreciate everybody's opinion on Nick Saban's comments. John Ruiz at Miami. NIL continues to be a major topic in college athletics. This says, guys, this NIL situation, they say everybody wants guardrails. Well, I do agree to be in the guardrail camp. Instead of thinking we can come up with laws governing NIL, I see a perfect chance for natural law to govern if we just let it alone. As you keep saying, the money will dry up, the collectives will eat themselves. Perhaps that is a good solution long term. But yes, there will be maybe, right? Maybe this is a flash in the pan kind of thing that everybody will realize, well, that's not sustainable. That was fun while it lasted.
Rich people can stay rich for a long time.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, and that's the one thing that everyone agrees on in this conversation, is that there needs to be some rules in place that aren't currently in place. That's from all parties. So, and I, as I always say, and you disagree with me, Buck, that even the players, I think, would like to know that there's some structure to this. And it can't just be the wild, wild west. I mean, there's no other sport in the world that has just open free agency with no restrictions whatsoever.
Right? I don't know. I just think they're young. Some of them are young. Some of them are, you know, if they're coming out of high school going to college and you paid them $1 million, I don't know if they care about guardrails.
You're right about that.
You know what I'm saying? They just.
I still think there are a lot of them that do, because they have a good head on their shoulders and they have good idea. And
I would have given Zay $1 million when he was 18. He would have known exactly what to do with it.
Exactly.
He would have said, that's it?
That's all I get?
That's all I get. No, the adults have to make these decisions. And I believe the real adults is, I'm still taking a chance in saying it, but I think the presidents are the ones that can sit back. I mean, they're supposed to have the best interests of everything on those campuses, you know?
Yeah, you're right about that.
Because you can't leave it in the hands of the football coaches.
No. And that's the thing, right? Or is it the athletic directors? I don't know about that. Is it school presidents who, as I said, have a full-time job as is, running a major university? Who is it?
Not the coaches.
And that's the natural current that's already in place, is that college football playoff committee, which is made up of, you know, former ADs, former coaches, the Condoleezza Rices of the world.
Condoleezza is going to get back in on this?
Well,
okay.
Mean, that those would be the adults in the room, right?
Yes.
You don't, I mean, they shouldn't have a rooting interest in it except for the good of the sport and the good of college athletics. If that's the case,
you're right.
That might be exactly the group.
People keep asking about the word taxes. Yeah, everybody's getting taxed in this deal.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you don't give away.
Nobody gets to make income without paying taxes, do they? Is there a rule? You know, that's their. Or some that get.
By the way, somebody's paying taxes on that Lambo or whatever. Somebody's got to pay taxes.
Exactly.
They don't just give you stuff.
No. No doubt. All right, so that will be an ongoing discussion as we're 101 days to the start of the college football season. Then we can act in Big 12 media as we can start talking about football, games, you know. Longhorns did add another player in the transfer portal, as we mentioned. They shot high for Jordan Addison. They knew they needed a wide receiver and give Sark credit saying, you know what, we're going after the best. He's in the portal. We're going to make our pitch and see what happens. Obviously, Jordan Addison has chosen USC over Texas. Longhorns have responded with a transfer portal commitment from Iowa State graduate transfer Tariq Milton. This is a speedster who, as you said, Buck, there are highlights of this dude flashing as a freshman.
Yeah, man,
he
was flying as a freshman.
4.3 speed out of high school, 4.38 in the 40, and he flashed that at Ames, and he's finished there, had some injuries, really plagued his junior and senior seasons, but looks to be healthy now, we'll see. But that's a depth piece. Look at what Sark has done right through in his coaching staff. They knew they needed help in certain spots, and through the high school recruiting. And Sark has said, this, you know, we're going to still base the foundation of our program in high school football recruiting. And that's where they went out and brought in, 28, 29 new players, stocked the offensive and defensive lines for now and for the future, but have plugged holes through the transfer portal, and the places of most plugging were wide receiver. They brought in three, also Jaleel Billingsley at the tight end position. So bringing in speed, bringing in offensive weapons to help, you know, rub up this offense around Quinn Ewers or Hudson Card, whoever emerges as the quarterback. Tariq Milton, the latest.
Yeah, he's a little guy that can fly.
And a return man, as somebody mentioned.
There you go.
He can help you on special teams. And he's a graduate. You know, he's mature guy, older guy, who's been through it, knows the Big 12.
Been in a good program.
Oh, yeah, coached by Matt Campbell, obviously. That's a nice depth piece right there.
You know, even when they were after Addison, I just thought, that's good, but what they need is solid depth. They don't need superstars. They really, offensively, I think, if the one guy stays healthy, they've got enough. You don't need four receivers that are superstars.
You're right about that.
You need really glue guys.
And that's, you know, you tell me you come out of the Matt Campbell program where their culture is their engine, right? That's what they do. That's how they do more with less in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
You like that. And speed, you know. And Steve Sarkisian's looking for game-changing speed. He wants catch-and-run players. He wants his receivers to catch the ball at full speed and put pressure on the defense at all phases. And, you know, Xavier Worthy is a speedster. Ajai Hall out of Alabama, super fast. And this kid at 4.3 as well. So you've upgraded this overall speed on the outside of receiver as
well.
Yeah,
you're besides – you know, Xavier Worthy, I mean, your other guy is just, knock on wood, if that guy could ever stay healthy.
Jordan?
He's the real kind of difference maker, but it's just that you can't make a lot of plans around him.
The positive side of Jordan Whittington is that he got rave reviews for his spring, his new diet regimen, and his body's in great shape, and he had a tremendous spring. Can he carry that into the summer and into the fall? If they do, you know, he was your most reliable third down weapon last year. You got speed, and then you got a guy that can be that absolute, you know, because the thing about Jordan Whittington, when he gets the ball, he's like a running back, right? I mean,
yes.
he gets the ball in space. He can run over people. He is he's a powerful player in that spot. And
they got a bunch of guys that can catch and make yards after the catch right now.
Well, that's what you heard from the coaches about Isaiah Neyor, is he's faster than they thought. And he got here, and they liked what they saw on film.
He plays really big.
Yeah, and can really run. So, and, you know, let's be honest, for a couple of years under Tom Herman, this is a very slow football team. I mean, they were not a speed team. Tom was looking for big.
From top to bottom.
Yeah, and that's obviously something they're trying to turn around, and they've done it on offense, still looking. And Sark has talked about doing that on defense, too, by moving cornerbacks to safety, trying to get more speed at that position and be more dynamic. You got to have speed in the Big 12. All right, so let's get to
And I also will knock on wood for Troy O'Meara. If that guy shows up, that's just added. That's a bonus.
he's a mirage until proven otherwise. it's a figment of our imagination. No, he's out there.
It's a bonus.
I know you
hope
for a young guy, for sure.
Absolutely.
And Brennan Thompson coming in from Spearman, the track and field speedster.
He's
also a very good football player. So, yeah, a lot of speed infused into that Texas offense.
Use them all.
Hey, it is just past 8:30. That makes it Flex 30 on B&E.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com.
Yeah, we mentioned yesterday in Flex ATX, if you go over to the website, FLXATX.com, they've got a full rundown of the SQTs, the 7-on-7 qualifying tournament that went on out at Lake Travis this past weekend. We mentioned that Westwood and Lake Travis qualified with their wins, and they were the they won each of their pools. It was fun to see all that. 16 teams out there, Buck, and they're going to do it again this weekend. There'll be one in Round Rock, and if you love high school football and getting out and checking these players out, because two more teams are going to try to get themselves qualified to get into the state tournament at the end of next month in College Station. So good luck to those teams. And one team you'll be watching this weekend is Dripping Springs. I mentioned Dripping Springs with the young quarterback that they have, Buck, that's going to Michigan State at this point. They're committed there. No, check that. He is committed to Baylor. The Lake Travis quarterback is committed to Michigan State. But, if Dripping Springs gets their receivers healthy, they're going to have a chance because I thought they were really good in that. It just leads to what's coming, right? Because Dripping Springs joined 6A.
Yes.
Dripping Springs, Buta Johnson up to 6A with Lake Travis and Westlake. You know what I learned when I was out there about the Lake Travis Cavaliers this year, Buck? They start their season with three straight road games for Hank Carter.
Well, they like to be on the road early. They like to play tough
challenge
games
themselves
on the road. Yeah,
they're going to Arlington Martin to start the season. That game's going to be on ESPN. Are you going up to do that game on a Thursday night?
Yep.
All right. It's on a Thursday night ESPN game. I think they're playing it at the Rangers, the former Rangers baseball stadium. So that'd be kind of cool.
That is cool.
That is cool. And then I believe they go down to Cibolo Steel week two.
Done that before, yes.
And then their first district game is at Buta Johnson down in Hays County. So that'll be fun. But getting you geared up for what's going to be a really fun football season. We know that coming up right after Memorial Day, coming in on Tuesday, we're going to begin rolling out our watch lists. As we've identified the best, what we think are the top 10 players at every position in high school football here in Central Texas. And that's going to create great debate, Buck. And again, the initial watch lists are not rankings. They're not 1 through 10. They're just the top 10. Once we get to the college, to the high school football season, we will begin to rank them. And by the end of the year, we'll whittle that down to the top three, and that'll create our first ever All-Flex ATX team. And then from that, we'll have a banquet and pick the winner at each position. So we're going to identify, and then by production and performance come the season, we're going to pick and honor the best player at every position.
You know, I just love the fact that Dripping is going 6A now. I mean, I love when these communities get to play. And I always even thought when Dripping was 5A, I know everybody, you hate getting your ass whipped by 6A teams like, Westlake and Lake Travis and all that stuff. I like it for the communities because they're close enough that they should have these kind of community games, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I always said that when my kids were in high school, we had a 2-year period where we're...
Oh, you guys used to get crushed.
Rude. They were at Hayes, and we were in a district that included Leander and way up there, Vista Ridge and all those schools. And we'd drive right past Bowie. We'd drive right past Dripping Springs, or
right.
At least it's over there.
Yeah, I love those communities.
We wouldn't go anywhere near that to play those teams. That was just the way the district floated for two
right.
years. But it does seem like as the growth has caught up that we're getting a little more regional, which is great. Because, there's going to be a great rivalry between Dripping Springs and Lake Travis and Westlake.
Absolutely.
And Buta Johnson and Northern Hayes County. Those are Bowie, of course, always great in South Carolina, and we know what goes on to the north. You know who had a great run at the 7-on-7 tournament this past weekend? Belton. Belton is into 6A.
Belton?
Yes. Well, Westwood beat Belton to qualify in that final at Lake Travis Cavalier Stadium. And Belton is into 6A now, obviously up north, but they're going to be in that district with Round Rock and those schools coming up this next couple of years, which is really cool. It's just the growth.
And St. Marcus, that area, that school and that beautiful facility they have
absolutely
is only going to grow.
No doubt. But so we'll be following it. And yes, be listening all month of June as we start to roll out those watch lists. And then, if we list our 10 best offensive linemen or defensive linemen or linebackers, corners, quarterbacks, and there's somebody we missed that's not on our radar.
Let us know.
We need to know. We're going to need to know that from you people out there because you people are the eyes of the whole operation.
Or at least you think you are.
Somebody mentioned that there's also a 7-on-7 tournament this weekend in Burnett.
Nice.
Burnett going to have, I think that might be the 5A, which is kind of cool. So looking forward to all that.
Get out. Oh, God, A. I still remember when Hayes used to just, you know, play Lake Travis and Westlake and just get ripped. I mean, you're talking about a team that had to just hang in there and just get those weekly beatings. And sometimes they would end up playing Lake Travis, and then the next week they play Westlake. I mean, they were getting back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. Well,
but that program has grown.
Well, I mean, for Hayes High School down in South Hayes County, in their high water mark, remember they won every game, but they lost to Lake Travis, Westlake, and then in the playoffs to Converse Judson. They won every other game, but they ran into those buzzsaws, and that's just where their play was. Now, obviously, in Hayes County and in that district, mm-hmm. they've split. Now Hayes is one school, and then Buda Johnson is the other school, and it looks like Buda Johnson has gotten a bulk of the top talent because they're winning at everything. Now they're going to 6A. Hayes will stay down at 5 in some sports, but kind of cross over in the others. All right, so there you go. There's some Flex ATX. Get over to that website, flxatx.com. Watch list coming next week. And remember, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Flex will have Snoop will have the full Flex Hour talking high school sports. We appreciate it. Be listening for those. flxatx.com. Coming up, salacious gossip, and it's time for you to load up the Blitz. 447-3776. First, Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just gossip. Brought to you by Bud Light Next, which indeed is the next big thing. It's brewed for what is next, and that's the beauty of Austin, Texas. There is always something that's next. It never stops. Fun events, live music, sports, festivals, fun. That's what Austin's all about. The vibrant city that refuses to grow up, perpetually 24 years old, needs a beer like Bud Light Next. Zero carbs, 80 calories, keep that slim, trim figure while having fun and celebrating the good times. And what a great flavor and taste it is. It is the newest beer. Of course, Bud Light 40 years ago. Now Bud Light Next, brewed for what is next. Always be safe and smart, but do it with the Bud Light Next. Pick it up, try it at your next event or watering hole or when you're loading up the coldies for Memorial Day weekend. Do it with a Bud Light Next. You know, you get some Bud Light, that's fine, but go ahead and mix in a couple of Bud Light Next. You'll like them. Throw them in the cooler. Everyone will be impressed. Hey, we're rooting for Sage Steele, Buck. You know Sage Steele? She's the ESPN anchor. Mm-hmm. Do you know Sage Steele? She's on the four letter.
Long and tall, and that ain't all. Sleeps in the kitchen with her feet in the hall.
She's recovering after being struck in the face.
In the face?
By an errant tee shot by John Rahm on the third hole of the PGA Championship on Thursday. He was there covering. Of course, ESPN had full coverage. And according to golf writer Jeff Shackelford, described an account from an eyewitness who saw her on the ground holding her nose, chin, and mouth area covered in blood. The John Rahm shot, which hit her, traveled 281 yards and was moving at 181 miles per hour off the base and hit her in the face.
Dude, I once stood at, speaking of, you know, the Mullet Open, you know, there's after the short par 3E, you know, the one where I had the hole in one there, then you come to a par 4 that has a big cavern down below it, but it's not that far away.
With the 7-wood?
Well, no, I was standing on that green, and a guy who can really hit the ball long was waving me away from the green. I said, come on, you're not going to knock it on this green. And so I was leaning on my club with my legs open, and I could hear this ball coming. I mean, it just whistled, and it landed right between my legs and threw it on the back side of the green. I was in the front side of the green. It landed on between my legs and kept going. If that thing would have been up just a little bit more, oh, my.
I don't think I ever told you. I was playing to my Wednesday group, and my guy, Stu. Stu's a big dude. Big dude. He was trying to cut one up over there, hit one up over this tree, kind of a flop shot, and I was standing to his right, probably about 20 yards away.
Shankopotamus?
He shanked it right at me. And it, like, I'm watching it, and it coming like a bullet.
Did you hear it, too?
It hit me right in the left bicep. Ooh. I mean, it was inches from my face. That would have not been good. Well, we're rooting for Sage Steele.
Yeah, no kidding.
End of an era in New York City yesterday at the corner of 7th Avenue and 50th Street, Midtown, New York. The final New York City payphone was removed. They're all gone now.
I'm going to think I was at that before.
No more payphones. See ya. Bon voyage. Not going to happen. Hey, is this clever or cruel? Internet apparently divided now. A guy in San Diego named John DeMaria had a dog next door, his neighbor's dog, that would bark at him all the time and bark at anything, barking all the time.
Sure.
So he built a remote control air horn to blast every time the dog barks. He calls it the Dog Zapper 2000. He took to TikTok to show how it works, said the dog constantly barks, so he decided to give it a taste of its own medicine. cruel or clever? You decide.
I don't know. Just take your ass
Sounds
in the house.
Sounds loud.
Leave the dog along. Let the dog bark.
Next question with the pets. Is it okay to slap your cat?
No.
And yes, I'm putting this story here right ahead of the blitz, so here comes slap your cat guy.
Slap the you-know-what guy coming up.
Soccer star Kurt Zuma has pleaded guilty to charges that he attacked at least one of his cats.
No.
Back in February, admitting that
it's
he
different.
Did.
You can slap somebody else's cat, but do not slap your own cat.
It's up to your preference. You want to slap your cat?
No, can't slap your own cat.
Zuma was seen on video back in February slapping the cat.
Leave the cat alone. Somebody else's cat comes running up to you.
You can't slap your own cat,
can you, Zay?
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Just leave those animals alone.
No matter what. You're
part of the family.
Dude, I tell you what, if I slap my cat, that cat would tear into me. It would not be good.
I don't know mine well enough. I just go out there to feed them. I don't know them well enough.
Her name's Fergie, and she is not nice.
She's not having any of that slapping?
Not up in here. Let's go to your blitz. There's some gossip brought to you by Bud Light next. Let's hit it.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Yeah, slapping a cat may not work on this part. First Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I think Carmelo Anthony way overreacted to what KG said about his wife. This is Tim Duncan.
Wow, man.
Listen, you can't say to anyone your wife tastes like.
Honey Nuts or anything else.
Anything.
Or Wheaties or anything else.
If your smack talk starts
pops.
With your wife tastes like, that's a fight.
Yeah, it is. Next Blitzer, you're up.
I bet like Chris Code, Marshall was one of the dumbest ones I've ever heard. Right up to the Little Caesars. How annoying.
Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes.
You think NIL is out of hand now? I heard on a local sports show last night that it's going to be offered to high school students soon.
Well, they'll get to that, hopefully, before that madness starts. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Trey Elling, the third. Cats are only good for two things, kicker practice and driving practice.
My gosh. Next Blitzer, you're up.
A couple of you like Kool-Aid. One of you like Pang. We like Poo-Tang.
Thank you. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, didn't Bev Kirby resign because she slapped her student's cat?
No, dude, come on, man. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Michael, Vic. Yeah, hey, I got something for that barking dog.
Oh, my God. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Let's see. We got wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Looks like we good, Buck. We don't need no O-line for next year's team.
No, we got enough of those.
We got seven of those out of the high school ranks.
Pretty young. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Oh, boy. Here comes Beth Kearney slapping that.
Slapping that cat.
A joke that tells itself doesn't need to be told.
That's right. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, flat cat. Quit being a flat nut and leave the cats alone.
Leave these cats alone.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do to wind these people up. If I say slap the cat, that's it.
That'll do it right there.
And that's the headline of the story. If I say pastor smasher, it becomes a lost term.
My gosh. Wow.
That's the way it goes around here.
Oh, you can't hit your cat.
Can't hit your cat. Ever.
No.
Right here, you're your pet, and I don't like the guy with the air horn. Now, let's be adults here. Go over and tell the dude to... shut it, because it's fair if the neighbor goes over and says, hey, can you keep your dog quiet now and again?
I mean, how do I tell my neighbor those roosters are still crowing at 2 in the afternoon? They don't stop at 7 a.m. They go all day long.
Rooster crows at the brink of dawn, but that's it? Then all day it crows?
All day long.
Crow is rooster.
I guess he's got business to do.
Hey, now. We'll be back when we do. Hey, Ty Harrington's going to join us to get some thoughts on college baseball, his thoughts on this RPI. He was a coach for 20 years. How important is RPI? What does go into the criteria of who hosts regionals and who doesn't? We'll talk Texas, Texas State, the Big 12. We'll get Ty's thoughts on that. And obviously the Longhorns at the Big 12 tournament. Preview it coming up from a guy in the know, our man Ty Harrington. Coming next, part of a 9 o'clock hour on B&E.